What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here with Move the Sticks. Before you get to your episode, Bucky, tell them what's coming up on our show this week.
We're going to break down my top 10 for my latest mock draft, and also we're going to dig deep into the running back position in this draft class.
Also, we're going to critique producer TD's jump shot. You're going to want to hear this.
The Around the NFL Podcast celebrates good times. Come on.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Seeing entirely too much of each other right now.
Yeah. It is. That is true.
It's getting ridiculous. I mean,
well, we had dinner last night. Usually I feel dead inside for all the hours in between when we tape the podcast, but I felt alive last night with you guys eating some food.
Yeah, we went to a dinner spot in Venice. I think it's Venice. Is that where we were?
Marina Del Rey,
right? Marina Del Rey.
It's right at the end of Abbot Kinney.
And, you know, we talked some work matters, and now here we are back again, taping in the morning. At a certain point, it's just going to be a meltdown where we just can't be around each other anymore. It's just going to happen eventually. It's just a matter of when. It's a ticking time bomb.
Well, I look at it the other way. I envision a world where there's very little time in our lives that we're not taping the podcast. It's just our whole life is a nonstop podcast.
Wow, like a Truman Show type scenario?
A little bit, yeah. We're just streaming.
Do we ever get paid for this activity?
Oh, Wes. Come
on. You know what, Wes? Always.
That's unprofessional.
This is about the love of the game.
We get it, Wes.
You're right. Unprofessional means not getting paid.
I could see. I mean, what if this podcast went on for another 4 or 5 decades solid? And, you know, by that point, all our families have just had enough of us. And we just live together, the four of us, in like an apartment.
That sounds horrifying.
That seems like a step backwards.
We get along very well, and we'd have fun.
Everyone we love will leave us because we're so codependent on one another to do a podcast?
Yeah, but, you know, show business has that kind of grim
but the show will be
side
popular.
To it. Oh, the show would be huge. It goes on for four decades.
Would we be rich?
We'd be swimming in cash. Somehow
happy.
We would still, the four of us, have to
we
live together
West
in one
care
place.
Of financially.
I don't want to be rich.
Well, you got more money than you do now. How about that?
Let's save this for the West Needs Money podcast.
Thank you.
Every podcast.
Today is Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I've been a wild rover. The Irishman behind the glass. And I spend all my money on whiskey and beer. You know this one, Brandon? And
now I'm no.
Anybody know this song? The Wild Rover?
I mean, it sounds familiar, but no.
I know Wild Irish Rose.
No, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more. It's a good song, right? Greg, your thoughts. You're Irish.
Yeah. I did live above a bar, McSwiggins, in New York. Nothing brings out the old amateurs more than St. Patrick's Day in New York City.
I have a lot of fun memories on St. Patrick's Day as an amateur myself because, as I said on earlier this week, very Irish town I grew up in. On St. Patrick's Day, everyone would cut school once you hit like 15 or 16 and take the bus into Manhattan because this is in the 90s and a lot of places weren't carding on St. Patrick's Day. And you'd go in there and almost always somebody would pee their pants on the bus because it was a bunch of 16-year-olds drinking and they can't hold their liquor. So somebody would pee their pants. Somebody would get lost in the city and not come back. It was a big part of the culture of my town was to a big amateur day in Manhattan on St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, that's true of 16-year-olds.
But that's not what Irish culture is all about, by the way, guys. It's
why do we have
drinking.
A guy behind the glass named the Irishman? It's 10:23 a.m. in Los Angeles, and he's not hammered at a bar.
So you're
like
feeding
the
into
only
stereotypes,
you're
though.
You're the only. No, I'm not, because I've been in Los Angeles for, 10 years on St. Patty's Day, and the bars are on fire right now.
Well, I mean, there's a reason we tape early today, so I can just leave at about 1.
That's hoping for.
Also, today's a big day, because not only is it St. Patrick's Day, it's also the opening of the March Madness NCAA tournament, so there's a lot of people, speaking of calling in sick, that are missing from the office, I've already noticed, that are at bars. So this is a big party day, I would say. Right, Wes?
Yeah, I lived in the Savannah area for 8
Wes
years.
Wes, like, I'm not talking till I get a raise.
That's not what I'm saying. But Savannah is up there with Chicago and New York for the biggest St. Patrick's Day in the United States. Ooh. And I've been to several of those, and they are insane.
Very fun. Very proud of my Irish culture, my mother's side of the family. Anyway, today's show, it's a good one. You would think, oh, man, you guys just taped the show. You must have nothing to talk about. Like, what are you even doing up there, up here in the studio? No, we got a lot to talk about because there's still news happening. More New England talk. The Patriots are very active right now. We're going to have some news. A little 8 o'clock delight is going to drop by. A little 8 o'clock delight. So you'll hear some of that. And then we'll play a fun little game afterwards. A little over, under. I will throw out some prominent names during this free agency period. And I'll let you gentlemen kind of let me know if my over-unders for certain statistical markers will be met. Greg, right now you've pulled up a giant Irish head.
Well, this is Sam Young, the new tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I always actually have him on my computer for motivation, his headshot. Just gets me fired.
That's motivating you?
Yeah, just gets me fired.
He definitely goes by Big Red, I would think.
Well.
All right, so that's what's going on today. Fun show. Everybody's in a good mood. I'm going to Vegas tomorrow, by the way, and Spice Rack is going to hook me up. I've been in contact with Spice Rack. Of course, Spice Rack is Chris Wessling's desert companion. Well, companion's a little strong.
That seems a little misleading.
A little weird. It's like, where's Wes? Oh, he drove off into the desert to meet his male friend.
It all lines up from what I know about
his
Wes.
His desert consigliere is what I meant to say.
I have spent one weekend in Vegas in my entire life, and it would have been an absolute disaster if not for Spice Rack.
Yeah, so
he came through big.
Spice Rack, I will get to meet Spice Rack, and we'll talk about his next appearance on the show. He is one of our college football experts. Speaking of which, Daniel Jeremiah going to be on the show next week. Let's do some news, Brandon.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, football fans.
Speaking of Irish guys, Dave Damashek with the drive. Very good, Brandon. All right, let's start with the big news on the throne of ease. Martellus Bennett, a tight end who had fallen out of favor with the Chicago Bears, but undeniable talent, 29 years old. And the Pats, who haven't had a 1-2 punch since Aaron Hernandez. What happened with Aaron Hernandez again, Greg?
He's in jail right now.
Oh,
very okay. Close to Foxborough, the jail that he's in.
He can hear the cheers. How many columns have been written with that lead? Aaron Hernandez sits in a 6x7 cell hearing the cheers from Foxborough.
I would say none because I think everyone in the New England area at this point tries to pretend Aaron Hernandez never exists.
I feel like I've read that exact opening.
Greg is
essing
on my point that it's a popular trope of sports writing. Aaron Hernandez was the star at Gillette, and now he hears the cheers for another man.
Greg's like, if he's not on the Patriots roster, I won't read a word about him.
Anyway, Greg feels like he's being picked on. That's not what I was trying to
that
do.
Wasn't
no,
that's the not point. True. I'm just looking for a little more humor.
Okay.
Ooh,
I mean, it's like, it's hard. You're not playing ball, so we'll move on. Martellus Bennett will replace, essentially, on some level, Aaron Hernandez as that second tight end that really Tom Brady can depend on as a big red zone threat. A trade went down. Bennett sent to the Patriots in exchange for a fourth-round pick. The Pats also get back a sixth-round pick in the deal. So now, Greg, nice little big towering targets in the red zone. You love this trade because I, as a Jets fan, hated it because I thought it was so great for the Pats.
Yeah, it was great. He's in a contract year, so it might be one and done. He'll have to be on his best behavior, but they gave up nothing. The Bears just decided to give him away. They traded him for a move down 50 spots in the third day of the draft. So they basically got Martellus Bennett for a one-year look-see. This is a win-now type of team, and I like Martellus Bennett because he's versatile. He's known as a great blocker. Now you got two guys that are great blockers, great receivers. You got just receivers. You can flood the middle of the field. That's where Tom Brady's at his best. It's going to give them a lot of options.
They have the two most athletic, most monstrous tight ends in the league now.
Yeah.
Two guys who are basically 6'7", 270, and great athletes. Martellus Bennett is only 1 year removed from 90 catches and 900 yards with Jay Cutler.
Wow.
Last year, he missed some games to rib injuries and probably wasn't playing with the best attitude because he wanted a new contract from the Bears and he was disgruntled, but go to a new place, play for a Super Bowl ring.
Well, he certainly was a headache for the Bears. I mean, they've been trying to trade him for almost a year and a half. I mean, they've wanted to move this guy, but it was really Belichick with the Aaron Hernandez Gronk pairing that came up with the dual tight end, like pass catching tight end scenario that caused Rex Ryan when he was with the Jets absolute nightmares, and he changed his whole defense to try to counter it. And it's almost surprising that it's taken this long for them to get another player like this in the building, but I think it's going to be great for Tom Brady because this is exactly, it fits their system so well.
He's 29 years old, so he should have some prime years left, or at least 1 year, however long this lasts. But it did strike me a little bit when Rap Sheet reported on NFL Network yesterday that Chicago had been actively trying to trade him for 18 months. And, you know, they were so happy to move on with Zach Miller, who's a nice player who had a nice second half last year, but come on. That strikes me as a red flag, Greg. But
he's not his fourth team. He's 29 years old. He's been a good pro.
Let me put this.
There's a reason you're on your fourth team.
Do you have concerns that he'll be able to fit into the Patriot way buttoned-up culture, or will it potentially not work out and he becomes a headache and he's gone by week eight?
No, I'm not concerned about that. I think there's a chance he'll just be there 1 year because they didn't really invest anything long-term in him, and if they just kind of get the feel that this isn't a guy they want for good, it's just a one-year thing, which is fine. I think they could get a lot of value out of him, but he's going to be playing for a contract. He's going to have a lot of motivation, and they have a pretty good track record of getting people to straighten out, not a perfect track record. I mean, Albert Haynesworth was there. But.
Right, but Corey Dillon and Randy Moss are two of the best examples possible of guys who were disgruntled elsewhere and came and blew the doors off of New England.
And I think he's so different than Aaron Hernandez, it's worth pointing out. Aaron Hernandez
much different.
Was just, well, you said he was monstrous. Off the field, that's true. He was monstrous. But on the field, he was basically a souped-up wide receiver, which Martellus Bennett is not. He's really known when he was in Dallas as one of the better blocking tight ends in the league. And so the versatility that you can now have where defenses won't know who's going out and who's staying in, and in the run game with Bennett and Gronk, and you just think they have no one that can really go deep on the outside.
Their tight ends are going to go deep.
But they and Tom Brady.
Brady, you know, can't throw the deep ball anyway.
And by the way, Tom Brady does not throw outside the numbers as well as he used to. He certainly didn't in the AFC Championship game. But think of the people you're flooding the middle of the zone with. Deion Lewis, Julian Edelman, Martellus Bennett, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Hogan.
Danny Amendola?
I don't think Danny Amendola will necessarily be there, according to a Pro Football Talk report. But that's up in the air.
There was a report last night that he might be a cut, but he makes similar money to Martellus Bennett. And
ask the Jets about Danny Amendola.
Yeah.
Almost single-handedly won the game last year.
He was a big asset in their
Super Bowl. You know I don't love Danny Amendola.
He was a big asset in their Super Bowl run, but yeah, he makes a lot of money.
The best thing about this trade is how are you going to double-team Gronk if you've got Edelman, Deion Lewis, and Martellus Bennett on the field?
Exactly.
Good
it sounds like Greg, as a fan, is heading into a rough patch here.
The throne of ease, indeed. Wes wrote a nice piece, which I read yesterday, breaking down the
move. Didn't even read it.
And also some other off. How would I know there are other components to the post below that initial lead where you broke down other
offers? Oh, Dan just came back.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn, Wes. Oh, damn.
Greg clued you in.
Other Patriots news related to the Bears, Shay McClellan, who was a former first-round pick in 2012, did not really work out in Chicago, but he signs a 3-year deal with the Pats, and the Belichick Mafia is spinning this, by the way, as, oh, we got all our first-round picks taken away and all our draft picks, but
who's
we keep on acquiring
no
first-rounders and second-rounders. We have figured out how to beat the system once again.
No one said that about Shay McClellan.
Do you like that signing?
It's a good signing for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot. It's a position of need, I'll say that, so you never know.
He'll make 3 Pro Bowls.
It's worth a shot.
It's going to work out just fine.
You got Jonathan Freeney right now maybe as your starting middle linebacker, so it's definitely a position I think they'll address in the draft too.
Moving on. So good news for the Pats a day after I thought was not so good news with Chandler Jones. They now get another offensive piece. Pats are doing okay. Now we got to find out if Tom Brady's playing 16 games this year. That's the next thing. It's still floating out there, hanging out there.
Come on.
We'll talk about that another day.
Nobody believes that.
He'll play 19 and win the Super Bowl.
Honestly, though, there is a lot of buzz that suspension is going to come back.
You're right.
Whether you believe in it or not is a different
Who started this buzz? Crazy people?
I don't know. You just got to plug in on the court situation.
Yeah, NFL has no case and has had no case all along.
I'm just saying, we've basically ignored that story because everyone's just tired of it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, but it is something that's
The new judge, not too excited about the NFL's angle. You're right, Dan.
Courts, man.
Yeah.
In other news, let's talk Colin Kaepernick, still a member of the 49ers. And I don't know, the longer this goes on, maybe he won't get traded. Who knows? But here's what Chip Kelly had to say. For the time being, he is one of Chip Kelly's quarterbacks and potentially a starter. Kelly spoke to Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee at San Jose State's Pro Day workout this week. He had this to say about Cap. If he's here on April 4th, we're going to coach the heck out of him, and he's going to work his, and this was in parentheses, tail. Could be butt, could be buttocks, could be ass, can be hiney. Work his tail off. We're going to coach the heck out of him, is what Chip Kelly says. Come here, mister. We're going to coach the heck out of you.
It's, I don't
so
know.
Corny.
It is. I mean, Chip Kelly, the innovator, needs to learn how to come up with some new phrases.
Well, this is an example of a guy who went to the San Jose State Pro Day, and there was a reporter there, and
he's like, "Oh no!"
Exactly, and he suddenly has to answer a question because he has to say something. Kaepernick is on the team at this moment, and what's he gonna say?
Here's another quote: "Is he on the team? Is he not on the team? It's never been a question. I'm excited to work with Colin."
I don't believe a word he says.
It's never been a question. Colin Kaepernick literally requested a trade from the 49ers.
Like, gonna coach the heck out of you, mister.
It's never been a question, except for from Colin Kaepernick. And apparently the general manager. It sounds like Kaepernick wants out and Balke wants Kaepernick out, that he's ready to move on. But I think Kelly is kind of thinking, who are my quarterbacks? I have Blaine Gabbert. I'd rather have Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick than just Blaine Gabbert.
Well, and
why
we do
not?
Know. I mean, before all this Kaepernick stuff happened, that Kaepernick was a draw to Chip Kelly, that he even would have wanted to try to trade for him if he landed somewhere else. So I don't think that Chip Kelly's lying, but he's kind of looking past the awkward nonsense happening with his
quarterback. Lying through his teeth.
You don't think he wants
Kaepernick
as a quarterback?
No, I think the 49ers want to get rid of him, and I think that
49ers might. I don't think Chip Kelly wants to have suddenly one quarterback.
Don't believe a word he says, not even hello.
I tend to agree with Mark, because what's the harm of having Kaepernick there? It's better to have him and Gabbert than just Gabbert. I did a breakdown on the site, just does Kaepernick deserve another chance? Looking back at last year's tape, like trying to see, like maybe it wasn't quite as bad as we thought, but it was as bad as we thought. They had limited him to the point where if he had been a rookie just starting out, you would have said, wow, they really have the training wheels on for this rookie. They really don't trust him at all. And this was a 5-year veteran that they had just given supposedly $135 million with, air quotes for that money.
Don't sell yourself short, by the way, because Kevin Patrick, must be review time, because tucked within his post on Kaepernick,
saw that.
Around the NFL's Greg Rosenthal offered the definitive breakdown hyperlink
of
Kaepernick's worth on Wednesday, so everybody should check that out.
Hey, all you writers out there planning a Kaepernick think piece, it's over.
It's already definitive.
That ship sailed and it already sunk.
It's been defined.
That was the one note in Greg's
Sorry, Barnwell. You know?
What, Dan, if you're thinking about doing
here,
a Kaepernick think piece.
No, it was like Greg's employer review was like only one note. Is like, be more definitive. I was like, what? What do I do with that? In other news, the league's competition committee will be getting together beginning this weekend in Boca Raton, Florida. What a heist that is. It's like, oh, sorry, honey. Sorry, wife and kids. Got league meetings to go to. Off to Boca Raton.
Well, they typically bring their wife and kids.
This feels like something that Sessler would try to go to, because it would be a nice journey.
Well, Mark, when are you leaving? You're leaving tonight.
Oh, you are going.
I am going to
Going
Saturday. But no, you had
the
like
quiet storm.
At the league meetings.
Mark's like, yeah, can I just get there a couple days early to just really set up and know the
I want to, you know, like make sure that the Wi-Fi works.
Yeah, know what rooms to go to.
Maybe
I don't know.
Hang out a couple extra days just in case some of these other coaches are staying back, and then I could have more access.
This is how you operate at that venue. But this is where Greg and I, when we went, we saw Bill Belichick and Linda Holiday.
Oh, that
playing
was
tennis
Arizona
together.
Was the same one?
No. But I'm saying at the league, that was in
Natalie
Orlando.
Holloway was there.
Yeah, they were playing tennis.
What's her name? Linda Holiday, right? And we've seen Chip Kelly jogging around with various
Somebody
individuals. I mean, everyone's just having
a good
time.
It's an East Coast flight. I don't even think it's direct. So Mark really does have a good he had to go there on Saturday because it starts on Sunday. He's going to get there, Saturday's kind of wide open. Sunday's a relatively light day, and we're going to have him on the podcast and tell us what's happening.
This also is the league meeting, is the annual meeting, is the famous, Wes, around the NFL legend of Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler's jog through the park with a famous CNN anchor.
Yeah. That's somehow
historic.
That's somehow embarrassing. People running together. This from
wanna go jogging?
This from the same group who does Soul Cycle and P90X. Yet some in group like somehow
we're not doing
running
that together.
Why are you being so defensive?
I know.
Saying this is famous.
I agree.
You and Mark are allowed to have a jog.
Thought it was fine. We saw Anderson Cooper on the jogging path.
Want to have a jog?
You've got a Soul Cycle tomorrow.
Yes, I do.
True or false? The NFL is offering a free Soul Cycle, so you and one of the gentlemen downstairs, David Ely, are taking it up.
I'm going to join as well.
It's time
to drop some weight. It's the off season, and it's going to be some soul cycle.
It's 7 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, I can't wait.
Soul searching. I thought you were leaving.
Oh, no, this is next week.
Okay.
Mark will be there just to, like a test run.
I am testing it tomorrow. I'm letting various editors from our office went and sent out photos last night. Had a great time.
NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Thursday that the automatic ejection rule suggested by Rog is expected to pass. The new rule would eject any player flagged for two personal fouls in a game. That's interesting. They should call it the ODB rule. Mark, since you are going to be involved with a conference call in a little bit on this and you're obviously going, is there anything else that is saucy that could be coming out of this?
Well, the thing that stood out to me was that there is going to be no change to the catch rule, which is one of the most annoying, lingering aspects to watching football of late. And they're essentially what they're going to try to do, they say, is a continued effort for more public education on how the rule is officiated. Come on!
That's insulting. We all are so simpletons that we need the catch rule explained to us. You know who needs an education? The competition committee.
Ooh,
come
bang.
On. Hey, here,
stick it to him, Wes.
Mike McCarthy in January. I don't know what the hell a catch is anymore. It's ridiculous. One of the best head coaches, one of the longest tenured head coaches in the NFL has no idea what your role means, and you want to educate us? Fix your broken role.
Damn, bro.
It's tiring. Come on. It's the most basic elemental act in the sport, and nobody from the officials to the players to the coaches knows what it means. It's undermining the integrity of the game.
But look for those pamphlets on explaining it. It does seem like a very quiet, some years there's a lot of talker, interesting rule changes, unless they drop some surprises in this conference call that's coming up on Thursday. Really does not feel like that this year. I mean, if the sexiest thing we have is the ejection rule, which seems like a home run, it's a good idea, but there's not much to talk about. It's just a bunch of like tweaks to the chop block rule and tweaks to low hits on quarterback, but nothing major.
8 o'clock delight. Titans wide receiver Kendall Wright on former teammate Robert Griffin III. He's coming back with a vengeance in 2016. Mark, any chance RG3 has a big comeback here?
Well, how about get signed first? No, I don't see it. I think he's seen as a backup.
We heard these articles last year at this time, how great he looked in the offseason.
James Laurinaitis, cut by the Rams, of course, has agreed to a deal with the Saints. Chris Wessling, you do not think this is going to make a big difference, do you?
Never forces a turnover. Is a liability in the run game. And the Saints are coming off a season in which they earned the worst grade in the history of Football Outsiders defensive metrics.
The Arizona Cardinals waste no time replacing Jonathan Cooper. Evan Mathis signed to a one-year contract worth $6 million. Get the job done, Greg?
Cardinals are doing a great job in free agency. They do this year after year. They sit out the first three or four days, and they tend to get a lot of good bargains, like Chandler Jones and Evan Mathis.
The Ravens had a glut of safeties entering Wednesday. They got rid of one. Will Hill released. And then we learn quickly that he's facing a 10-game suspension for a drug violation. Mark, he keeps getting suspended.
That's four.
It's a shame because he's a good player, I think. But, as long as you don't drink a beer on an airplane, you'll be fine. You'll be back.
DeMario Davis, one of the great players in the history of the New York Jets, has left the team and signed a two-year, $8 million deal with the Cleveland Browns. Believe land, Mark.
The Browns are on the board.
Well, it's telling the Jets to not want this guy back on any level, so.
He's okay. He's not bad. The Vikings get an offensive lineman. Andre Smith strikes a one-year deal worth $3.5 million, up to $4.5 million with incentives. Wes, makes sense, right? You got Adrian Peterson in the building. Sign some guys that can block for him.
Pick up Andre Smith and Alex Boone, two really good run-blocking offensive linemen. Andre Smith's not coming off his best season, though.
Teddy Bridgewater, Mike Wallace said this week that he needed a good quarterback after signing with the Ravens. Now he walks it back, not surprisingly. I love my coaches and teammates in Minnesota. I would never say anything negative about Teddy. By the way, bro, your quarterback was Teddy Bridgewater, and you just said you need a good quarterback to thrive. You banged him. Don't back off now.
Well, maybe he's saying he's still throwing shade at Ryan Tannehill in Miami.
Oh, enough of that.
This is what the Ravens inherited. Have fun with it.
Tom Brady filled out his bracket. Can we give Kevin Patcher a raise? How many stories has he written today?
Well, someone's got to do it.
Yeah. You know,
we're just pop stars now.
Don't. Tom Brady filled out his final men's tournament bracket. He's got Michigan going all the way. He's a homer, Wes.
I don't really care about little kids playing basketball.
You know what, Wes? That is not right. By the way, what is up with the kissing cousins hating all sports?
I hate all sports.
Oh, it's so weird to hate the NCAA, the most crooked institution in America.
You just ruined 8 o'clock delight because you couldn't control yourself.
Sorry.
Correction, nothing could ruin 8 o'clock delight.
Thank you.
But the kissing cousins, you guys don't like any other sport but football and the Spurs.
I have a beef with you.
What? Let's hear it.
Because I commented on another sport yesterday letting you three know that rugby players – they draw a lot of action, a lot of female action. And you guys, that's absurd.
I didn't question you.
All right, well, why would anyone who's a big, giant rugby player be looked at fondly by females? All suddenly, my Twitter timeline is on fire with people from all over the world writing me. Chris Brooks writes, listening to the Around the NFL podcast, and one can 100% confirm your comments about women and rugby players, they get them all.
Yeah, says the guy that plays rugby and thinks he does better than he does.
The only people talking about this are former rugby players or guys who had some insecurities.
No, not true.
They saw the rugby players come in, they were intimidated.
Andrew Torrance writes, Australia, New Zealand, USA rugby is very popular with the fairer sex. Case closed.
I wish you weren't a liar.
All right. I mean, that doesn't necessarily get to the heart of the matter, which is your hatred of all sports that aren't the NFL. But
I love baseball. Major League Baseball runs a crappy operation, but I love the sport itself.
Okay.
And I love basketball. I just don't like watching little kids play sports for a crooked institution.
I don't need college sports in my life, but it's just a matter of time. If I had time, I'd like other sports. Come on.
You could ask a lot of people, Wes, about the company that you work for, and maybe they wouldn't say the nicest things. That's all I'm going to say.
I think you could match the NCAA against any institution ever created as far as how crooked it is.
We should get Zach Goldman, the gold standard, on to talk about FIFA.
Please. That could be the FIFA podcast in June.
The gold standard, by the way, on Mount Rushmore, Brandon McGinnis, the Irishman, trying to get up on Mount Rushmore. Gold standard's already there. He's gotten hyper-political. I don't know if anybody follows him that listens to the show. He is really upset about this Donald Trump situation. Maron. He's pumped up.
He's not the only one.
Passionate man.
Passionate group. Greg, who are you voting for?
I'm not gonna talk politics. Definitely not Donald Trump.
That is the politics podcast coming up later this summer.
I probably will forget to register and not vote.
Greg refuses to take part in the process of our country.
No, I'll try. I will. I probably will vote.
I wish you weren't a liar.
California. Maybe the general election. I'll wait till the general election. Seems like
a lot. He's digging himself a big
hole. This feels like a good one to vote in.
No, I did. I will.
Yeah. You got to play defense in this.
I did.
1998, I voted for Bill Clinton.
I did the last two Obama ones, but you know.
All right, so let's play a little game here. It's called over/under.
I can just smell the tweets coming from that last exchange.
Oh, yeah.
You got to participate in democracy.
Block them.
Yeah, well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Pick up the chisels. Get to work on Brandon's mug. All right, over under time. We're going to go through some NFL football players that have been in the news in the last couple of weeks, and I'll set some statistical barriers and, make your decision as if your life depends on it. Like you put your entire life savings into getting this right. So what I'm saying is don't be flippant about this exercise. Be a professional. Okay, Wes?
Yep.
Wow.
I'll pay you for this, Wes.
It's about time.
$20 bill if you perform here. Let's start with Martellus Bennett, who,
it's
of course.
It's a good thing none of our bosses listen to the podcast.
Yeah. It's Martellus Bennett is now a member of the Pats. There's some mouths to feed, Wes, you'd say, right, in that offense. Some guys are going to be wanting some targos. That's short for targets.
You got to shorten that long,
like long
word targets.
A
lot of targos out there, and Martellus Bennett should get his fair share in a two tight end set with Gronk. Let's throw out all three major statistical basic stats for him, and then we'll do an over under for Martellus Bennett. And I'll start with 60 receptions, Mark Sessler.
Under slightly.
Wes.
Under.
Greg.
Yeah, I would go under just because of the amount of options there. I don't think they're going to see him as their number one or two receiver.
So the groups, the group think here is that Bennett could be a nice addition but won't be some monster in this offense.
I think he'll be great, but you're talking fantasy numbers.
All right, I changed my answer now that I think of it because he's not going to be going deep. You go, I'm going to go like 63 for 750, something like that.
I had 6,808. As a slash over-under.
Eight would be a career high in touchdowns.
Right.
But he is playing with one of the best red zone quarterbacks in NFL history.
Tom Brady historically throws about 40 touchdowns a year, so it's a lot of TDs.
I mean, he's their number three receiver right now. I'd put him ahead of Amendola if he stays on the team, ahead of Hogan. He's behind Gronk and Edelman.
All right. Brock Osweiler, the new starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. 25 touchdowns, over-under, Mark.
I'm going to go over by one. 26.
Wes.
Oh, down the middle, Sessler.
Under.
That's, I picked over.
Under. Who's catching all these touchdowns besides Hopkins?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
He catch a lot of them.
12 for him.
I'm going to go under. And if a NFL player starts 16 games at this point, they're fairly likely to get over 25 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But I'm skeptical that this offense is going to be particularly better than last year. So I'm going to go.
Hoyer had 19 and 11 appearances, 9 starts.
That's a fair point.
Tougher
schedule, West by the way, for the Texans. One of the reasons why the Texans looked a little better than I think they really were was because of the schedule last year. It gets harder this year.
How about 14 interceptions for Brock?
I'll go under because he holds the ball too long and takes sacks instead of throwing interceptions.
Mark?
Push. He will have 14.
A little down the middle, Sessler.
That's called a push. That's gutsy.
I'll go under. I think this is going to be a run-first type of offense, and quarterbacks don't throw interceptions anymore. This is the new NFL. No one throws interceptions.
You'll be sorry.
Captain Peyton Manning.
I'm going to coach the heck out of him. He's going to throw zero interceptions. Chandler Jones, new pass rush monster.
Under.
Arizona Cardinals. I figured you'd say that. 14 and a half sacks.
Oh, well, definitely under. That's,
why?
That's
it's
a
only
huge,
two more than his career
that's
high.
That's a huge year.
That's a huge year.
Well, I'm predicting a huge year. How about that? Mark Sessler.
I will go under.
What?
Under.
Going under. I mean, I love that defense.
You'll be sorry. He'll have 16 sacks this year, guys.
Wow.
You might be right.
Career year, Chandler Jones.
He is a absolute freak athlete that I feel like has never quite lived up to all of his potential. I think he still can be better, which is what scares me.
He can be better. He's playing. He's motivated for in a contract year. He just got traded, which some guys use as moto.
He plays in a sport where he's likely to get injured and not come through with 16 sacks.
Little known fact, too. Okay. His brother, MMA star.
John
Bones. Didn't know if you guys knew that.
Also, Arthur Jones.
Speaking of a guy with a brother.
That's true.
Chris Long.
Not Arthur Joseph.
Chris Long. Probably has a brother, right?
Yes.
He does. Plays in the NFL.
Does.
Guard for the Bears.
Exactly.
That's and true. A father.
Chris Long, the replacement.
And a mom.
For Chandler Jones. A man that Wes said on yesterday's podcast will mostly replace Chandler Jones' production. So I think I know where he's going with this. 6.5 sacks.
Over.
Under.
Double digits.
That's right. That's just the right number.
Thank you.
You've done it again.
Thank you.
I'll go over just because that's what I want to see happen. But I don't think he's going to play 1,000 snaps. I mean, to me, he's a 600-snap
situational
guy.
Pass rusher.
Yeah.
He's 30 years old, Santa Monica resident. Last three are born.
Born. Yeah, back when the L.A. Raiders were here.
Last 3 years. Dad was playing. 8.5, 5, and 4. So, oh, no, I was reading the wrong way.
Well, he's been injured.
8.5, 1, and 3, and has missed games in each of the last 2 years. We'll see. I will put – yeah, I think it's going to be right around there. Mark, what do you think his number will be?
5.5.
He's a good run stop. He's not the best pure pass rusher in the world. He's good.
Lamar Miller, the new running back for the Houston Texans.
By the way, Chris Long's going to be like the most loved Patriot player. You can just see it happen.
Also, I bet
he's good career on social media. People are going to love them some Chris.
He won't be allowed to tweet it.
Career high in sacks is higher than Chandler Jones' career high in sacks. Wow. Just saying.
What year?
2001. 2011. That was a long time ago, brah.
Yep.
By the way, Chris Long, and I don't want to take credit for this. I don't remember who said it in the newsroom, but Chris Long and Martellus Bennett going to the Patriots on the same day does feel like a loss for NFL, like, personalities.
Damashek said that.
No, they can still have the old twit. Martellus Bennett, you could already tell, he called himself a dandelion in the wind, but for the most part, he had already started talking like a Patriot on this conference call. He was pretty boring. But I think Chris Long will be good. He's good on Twitter. They're gonna tamp him down. The Long brothers really have to be among the best Twitter players.
They
in
will
the
be
NFL.
Heavily Both muzzled.
Entertaining, sometimes thought-provoking. Good job by the Longs.
The Manchurian tight end now playing for the Patriots.
I've totally torpedoed this game.
We'll be working with the Longs on NFL Now in a couple of years.
It'd be great.
NFL, your thoughts?
I can't say it.
Kyle's got a long way to go.
I do have some thoughts on that, though.
He's just starting his career out.
Lamar Miller, Texans running back, 1,200 yards. Mark Sessler.
From scrimmage or rushing?
Rushing yards.
Under.
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 Okay, he's going to run for 1361, guys, so you missed.
Wrong.
Chase Montana, also known as Chase Daniel, backup quarterback for the time being with the Philadelphia Eagles. 8 starts.
8 starts?
I go under, but he will finish the year as the starter and will be the starter heading into the offseason.
Over.
Oh. Wow. I mean, I'm a pragmatic man, and you would have some long odds in Vegas to get 8 starts out of Chase Daniel. Just the odds are not with you.
Vegas has never seen Sam Bradford's knee before.
Yeah, you need an injury, I think, and some really bad.
Or his shoulder, or any other body part that Sam Bradford
Mark,
has issues with.
Pragmatic actually translate for Greg into recovering gambling addict?
there's some parallel there.
You wish that was true. You make up these little narratives.
It'd be fun to read like a Greg memoir where that was like chapter 6.
Yeah.
Like chapter 5 is a strawberry truck, chapter 6.
My first days at Roto-World making $500 a week trying to pay that New York rent. You got to make some extra guap somewhere.
Get that guap. Marvin Jones, 72 receptions.
Under.
Yeah, under.
Now a Detroit Lion, of course. 72 catches for Marvin Jones.
Under. Injury prone. Matthew Stafford sending, you know, passes way over his head.
His career high is 65. As the second or third fiddle in the Bengals. All.
Couple more. Olivier Vernon and JPP, 15 combined sacks.
Oh, over. JPP might get that with his left hand alone.
Wow.
Vernon's going to need 13.5 of those. Because JTPP can't bring anyone down anymore.
He's wearing a glove now. There's no club. It's a big game changer.
I'm going under. Something bad is going to happen here.
Wow.
With this duo.
What?
Oh, Mark. Colin Kaepernick, 13 starts.
Under.
Under.
Yeah, we usually laud you with your over-under numbers. This feels like way too
over.
High. I think the number should be 10.
Over.
But you did
over
get,
13.
You did get an over. I'm going
to
say
under. Well, if he gets traded, he's got a good chance to start wherever
right.
he goes, and he'll probably be the starter if he stays in San Francisco.
Right, but I think wherever he is, he's going to be in a situation where he's not even guaranteed to start week one and that he's going to have to play well to keep that starting job.
Over with gusto.
Love it, Wes. Finally, Greg Hardy, 1 team.
Under.
Under.
Under. Hopefully.
I guess I would take the push. I think somebody will get him. Somebody was going to sign him because people are desperate for pass rushers and could put aside evil doing. In a big spot.
Former around the NFL guest, Greg Hardy.
That's true.
That's before.
Should I put that at one half team?
We should find
one
a
half team.
No, we shouldn't find a sound drop from him.
No, we shouldn't. Okay, that's it. Mark, you need to go downstairs because you're going to be
on this
conference
call. Oh, yeah, get out of here. Seriously.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Boca Raton, Mark really is gaming the system now.
I was asked to go, and I said one word. I said, yes, whatever the NFL needs, that's what I'm here for.
To a tropical, enjoy yourself, Mark. A tropical part of the country.
Did he wind up getting a rental car or no? Mark's walking out. He did not. He's just going to taxi it.
Everything is, this is perfect, by the way, for Mark. Not only does he get to get away, he gets to go to a tropical location, gets to rub elbows with league people.
As Dan shakes his elbows.
Yeah, with
like
league people, which he likes to do. There is a expense account, essentially, where he'll be able to write off a lot of things that he eats and drinks. Well, not eats, but drinks. And he gets the solidarity that we know he needs.
Solitude,
excuse me, that we know he needs.
You know, they don't call me the boss, you know, for nothing. I've strategized all this out. It's going to make for a happier, more productive Mark Sessler.
I like that.
I heard.
Over.
Over on Mark being happier?
Over, under, Mark happy when he gets back.
I'll take the over.
Oh, yeah, he'll be happy.
I'll be optimistic and say the over. But that's it could go the opposite way because he'll fly back and then be once again in the middle of the
race. It'll put him in a good. It'll put him in a good space.
The expense report coming. It could be a factor here.
And don't underrate the enjoyment of being the intrepid reporter.
He
likes getting in there.
He does
break some stories.
Heard word around the campfire that Kevin Patrick will be our sole representative at the draft.
That is expected. Yes,
we're just laying out everything.
It's not confirmed.
We'll see what happens. So. That's it for another week of the Around the NFL podcast. Everybody, you know, really did a great job this week. I'm really proud of all you guys.
Thanks.
Got through the employee reviews. Everyone's on speaking terms with Greg, so that went well.
Still employed?
Yes. Everyone's still employed. Brandon, your second week on the job now in your return to action. The guys are hard at work with the chisels. You know, we just had some Port-a-Johns shipped in so the guys can keep working. Good stuff. We'll be back on Monday with another edition of the Around the NFL podcast, another week as we keep rolling on and free agency and everything else and speaking with Mark from Boca Raton on what's happening at the annual meeting. So a lot to talk about. Until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm in absentia. You like that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
The mailman, the boss, and the Irishman behind the glass. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Till Monday.
Dan, do you have the rundown?
I do. You want it?
Yeah, could you?
Yeah.
Ooh, the producer wants the rundown.
Oh. I'm Briandian.
We're throwing off today. We're going at 10, so.
This is a little flying by the seat of our peons.
What if, like, as has been done to us, like, 40 times, we tell Daniel Jeremiah, you're starting later.